الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. So, mashallah, you guys have had lectures on fasting and all of these points. What I want to cover today is Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh, he has said that there are three types of fasting. Not fard, wajib, and sunnah or nafil, but there are three types of people who fast. So they have three types of fasting based on that. One is the fasting of the normal person, aam logo ka roza, which is what most of us we keep. This is the normal fast that everybody does. The second type of fasting is the fasting of the special people. I wonder what that looks like. And then the third one is the fasting of the very special people. So the fasting of the normal people, fasting of the special people, and the fasting of the very special people. Now what could that be? Alhamdulillah, those of us who fast, all of us who are fasting, we fast at least the first type of fast. Now we want to try to understand what the second and third type of fasting is. We can see maybe we can upgrade our fast to that level, inshallah. So the first type of fast is very simple. The first type of fast is the one who avoids eating, drinking, and sexual relationship from Fajr until sunset. This is what the normal fast is. You don't eat, everybody's hungry right now because they haven't eaten. That's the normal fast. This is what the majority of people, this is how they fast. The second type of fast, or the fasting of the special people, is along with not eating, drinking, and avoiding sexual intimacy, they also fast with their ears, with their tongue, with their sight, with their hand, with their feet, and with their whole body. So it's not just the internal fasting, it's not just a fasting of food and drink, and so on, but it's actually a fasting from many, many other things. Then, we're going to discuss this today, inshallah. However, I'm going to discuss the last type, which is the very, very special people's fast. Their fasting, unka roza kaisa hota hoga? You know, khususul khusus, ye unka roza hai. How must that be? That is a fasting, which is a fasting of the heart and the mind from everything besides Allah. Meaning their entire focus, unki puri tawajju, is all on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't focus on anything else. Their iftari is when they stop focusing on Allah and they start focusing on something of the dunya, that's when they do iftari. Which means that they fast for the whole month. In fact, they fast for many, many, many days. And their iftari is whenever they stop focusing on Allah, or unki tawajjuh wahan se hat jati hai. As soon as they stop focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then, and they focus on the dunya of some sort, that's when their fast breaks. Now that's a very different fast. And if they're doing something and thinking about the dunya, but for the sake of the akhirah, then that's also for the akhirah, that's still for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're still fasting in that regard. This is a fasting of the prophets. This is a fasting of the very, very, very pious people whose heart becomes completely focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a different type of fast. We're not going to discuss that one today because that one is very, very difficult for us to achieve. Allah ta'ala make it easy for us. But that's a different type of fast. That's in Ramadan, and outside of Ramadan it's the same thing. Right. Today our focus is on the middle type, which is so that inshallah we can upgrade our fast from the first type to the second type, because alhamdulillah the first type of fast we've been doing for years. All of our life we've been doing that fast. Now the second fast, many of us inshallah will be doing that as well, so let us describe that. So according to Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that this type of fast is beyond just the eating, drinking, it's of all the limbs. And he says that the way to complete this kind of fast is by doing six things. The first thing he says is غض البصر, which means to be careful with the eyesight and protect the eyesight, because that is what will break the fast for a person. Nazar, to look at something which is haram to look at, which is inappropriate to look at, that will break a person's fast. So, or anything, if you look at something that will occupy a person away from the focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is a problem. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An-nadhru sahmun masmumun min sihami iblis." The gaze is a poisonous arrow from among the arrows of shaitan. Shaitan uses that to hunt people down. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. Now, it's very difficult to avoid that sometimes. Coming to the masjid, going to work, and so on. But the benefit, the incentive mentioned in this hadith, the fa'idah of this, that if a person does avoid and look away, no, I'm fasting, I shouldn't do this. A person shouldn't even be looking if they're not fasting as well. But this is a training. It says that, فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّهِ آتاه الله عز وجل إيمانا يجد حلاوته في قلبه. Anybody who avoids looking at something inappropriate out of fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them such an iman. Allah will give them such an experience of iman in which they will feel the sweetness of it in their hearts. The stories we read of the Sahaba and other people, that they would gain the sweetness of faith, which will give them a lot more yaqeen and conviction to do what they needed to do, and they would never become weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. Now, in our situation, if we're going through a marketplace, and mashallah, this whole street is like a marketplace anyway, we come from our house, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, yuhyi wa yumitu wa huwa hayyun la yamut, biyadihi al-khayr wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. That's the market dua. The benefit you have of your masjid being on a market street, right, is that you can actually read this dua as you're going past all of these shops and be getting 1 million reward for every single time you read this dua. It's quite amazing. If you have to walk 2 blocks or whatever it is, all the shops are on your side. Yes, if you have to do some shopping, that's different. But otherwise, it just distracts you. So what we read is, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, yuhyi wa yumitu wa huwa hayyun la yamut. That's the additional part from the normal one. Biyadihi al-khayr wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. I would receive 1 million rewards just for that one. It is one of the highest, scoring du'as out there. To give you your football language. Once somebody asked me, what is the highest scoring dua, which gives you one dua, gives you the most, this is one of them. 1 million rewards. If you read it 10 times, that's 10 million rewards. So anyway, the point is that if a person does avoid, it might be difficult to avoid, but if a person can avoid it, they will be given a halawatul iman, which means a sweetness of faith. That means a special experience. One way to understand the experience of faith is that there's a Sahabi who is doing night duty for Muslim forces, and it's him and his partner. He says to his partner, "You go to sleep, I will do the duty of being on watch." So he starts namaz, and as he's in namaz, one of the enemies see him and they shoot an arrow at him. He gets stuck by an arrow. He's hit by an arrow, but he doesn't stop his namaz. He gets stuck by another arrow and he still doesn't stop his namaz. For me, that's just, you know, for us, if there's a little pinch from somewhere, it's like, what happened there? He doesn't stop his salat. When he gets the third arrow, that's when he wakes up his partner, because now he thinks that the enemy might even attack, thinking that this guy's not doing anything. The only reason I can think of is why he did not do anything, even though he must have intense pain, is because what he was enjoying was probably much sweeter than what he was feeling. The pain was less than the pleasure that he was feeling. If we could feel that pleasure in our salat, then where would we be? We'd not get distracted. That's why the Prophet ﷺ was able to stand for a long time at night, even though his feet got swollen, and enjoy his prayer. And when somebody said, look, have mercy on yourself, your feet are getting swollen, like sit and pray, or you've prayed enough. He said, no, I need to be thankful to Allah. But it must have been an experience that he must be gaining. You know, sometimes you have this food. Now, those who like chili food, some people just think chili is a good idea. And they just have lots of chili, but there's no balance in the masala. Right? The way to understand this is that one is chili, the other one is a balance in the masala, in the spices. If you have too much chili and the masala is not balanced, it just tastes chili. And that just tastes not very appetizing. But sometimes, even if the chili is a bit high, but the masala is balanced, you're enjoying the masala, you're not used to chili. So you might be sweating, your nose will be running, your eyes will be watering, but you'll be enjoying the food. So there's a pain and a pleasure relationship at that time. So maybe it's something to do with that. This is how some ulama have explained it sometimes. Right? That's when you get halawatul iman. Believe me, the ulama, and this is another hadith which says, if you get the halawatul iman, the whole practicing the faith becomes easy. Mazata yosme. Allah Ta'ala give us halawatul iman. One way to get it is just avoid. Just keep avoid looking at what's haram, and inshallah Allah will give us that sweetness. There's another hadith that Jabir radiallahu anhu relates from Anas radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, five things will break a fast. Meaning it will internally break the fast. Farz ada ho jayega. Your fard, your obligation will be fine. But your fast will be broken in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there'll be no acceptance. That means you've just stayed hungry. And your fard is done. You don't have to do qada. The five things are lying, any kind of lying. Ghiba, backbiting. Namima, which is tail-bearing. Idhar se udhar, taking somebody's story from here to the other, just to cause a gossip or discussion. And number four is false oaths. Taking a qasam, lying, right? To sell something maybe. Wallahi, there's nothing wrong with this car. Right? I swear an oath. You know. وَالنَّظْرُ بِشَهْوَةٍ. And looking with desire at something which is haram. These five things, they actually break the fast. Right? Internally they break the fast. That was the first thing. The second thing out of the six that Imam Ghazali says to upgrade the fast is to protect the tongue. Protect the tongue from foolishness. Saying foolish things, silly things, messing around. Yes, maybe a light joke just to brighten up the day would be okay. But just messing around and just acting foolish, to lie, ghibat from the tongue, namima, to be vulgar with the tongue, to swear. Those people have to be very careful who are in vocations and industries that swearing is fine in those industries. Do you know that? There are certain vocations and jobs where swearing is fine. Builders. I know one Maulana, he's a builder, and he said it's so difficult because everybody swears in this. Unka kami se chalta hai. And there's probably other vocations like that as well. Are there any other vocations like that? Any other occupations where swearing is fine? Anybody know? No, everybody comes from very decent ones, mashallah. So nobody knows. Okay. But anyway, this is to be vulgar. To say things of that nature. To argue. To conflict with somebody. The person should stay more silent than say anything. وَإِلْزَامُهُ السُّكُوتِ, he says. Try to stay silent as much as possible. Right? And stay occupied with the remembrance of Allah and with the tilawat of the Qur'an. He says this is the fasting of the tongue. Now I'll tell you how to do this. Which, if you, in Ramadan, because every moment is so valuable, for example, Sheikh Ahmed Sarhindi Rahmatullah Ali, Mujaddid Al-Fithani, he says that every moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concentrated huge amounts of blessing and barakah and forgiveness and mercy into small moments, every single small moment of Ramadan. So we need to benefit from every moment. So what you can do is even when you're coming to the masjid and going back from the masjid. Okay, in the masjid you're going to be focused on your Quran reading or whatever. But even coming to the masjid and going back home, going to work, coming back from work, have something in there that you're going to do. If you don't have something, then we'll just either be trying to read a newspaper on our phone or doing some other wasting. So I'm going to do this much tasbih. Like if you're not a half, if you're a hafiz of the Quran, then it's very easy for you. I'm going to read half a subara going to work. I'm going to read quarter subara going to the masjid, quarter subara coming back, quarter juz. Very easy. If you don't, if you're not a hafiz of the Quran and you don't know that much Quran, that's fine. I'm going to do this much tasbih. Going to the masjid and coming back. What happens now is, as soon as I go out of the masjid, I've got to do my quarter to a half subara until I get home. Otherwise I feel I've not done it. So if somebody tries to talk to me, now if it's a mas'ala or something like myself, I'll answer the question, but then I'll be looking at my Quran so that they get a point as well. They get the point that, hey, you don't have time to waste. Otherwise what happens is we waste a lot of time standing outside and talking. Whether that be after Taraweeh, after Fajr or whatever. Now I know somebody might say that's not very harmful. A little discussion is okay. But to waste time like that and not to maximize our time. So the easy way is just have a certain amount of adhkar, a tasbih, subhanallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, whatever you're going to do, and then you won't have any, because you have something to do. You'll be focused. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fasting is a shield. As-sawmu junnah. Fasting is a shield. So, how is it a shield? How is fasting a shield? You have to make it a shield. You have to treat it. I am fasting, so I can't do X, Y, and Z. So when one of you is fasting, he should not say anything which is vulgar and dirty. And he should not act ignorantly. If there is a person who tries to confront him, argue with him, swear at him, say bad things to him, he should just say, Inni sa'im. Inni sa'im. I'm fasting. I'm fasting. That should be enough to tell him, look, we don't do this during fast. Or it's a reminder to myself, I don't want to get involved because I'm fasting. Otherwise, I'm going to break my fast. Meaning, I'm going to spoil my fast. This is a very interesting story that Imam Ahmad has related in his Musnad. That once in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there are two women who fasted. And they became extremely hungry. They couldn't take it anymore. So they sent somebody to the Prophet ﷺ to ask him for a fatwa. Can we break our fast? Because we have some extreme hunger. It was abnormal. Abnormal. It wasn't usual. Felt very, very hungry. Now the Prophet ﷺ understood. So instead of giving them an answer, he sent them a bowl. A large bowl. And he said to them, tell them. He sent a message that tell them to vomit in here. So one of them vomited. Then the other one vomited. What they vomited was absolutely fresh blood and fresh meat. Raw meat. Fresh blood and fresh raw meat. People were obviously very, very surprised by this, that what is happening here. The Prophet ﷺ said that while these two people, this is the interesting part, these two people, these two women, they were fasting and staying away from things that were halal for them. Which means if they had normal rice or food, that would have been halal for them. They were fasting from that. But they were breaking their fast on something which is haram. So they're avoiding halal, but they are consuming haram. What they were doing is they were sitting there, they had not much else to do, they started doing ghibat. They started backbiting. She's like this, he's like this, she's that way, and he did this, and he did that. It's a good time to pass time. It's a very enjoyable time to pass time. A lot of people find that very enjoyable. And in some cultures, this is how people pass time, especially in villages. Especially in smaller areas where there's not much else going on. That's the pastime. I remember once I was in a house in a village. Right? And I had told a person that, look, don't let anybody in because I've got some work to do. So I was doing some work and then I rested. And then in the evening, one of the brothers, he said, I came earlier. I said, yeah, okay, come. Was it some work or something? He said, no, I just came to help you pass time. Because that's what happens. Gaon mein aisa hi hota hai. लोग का पास टाइम करना जरूरी होता है इसे और कुछ वहां मशगला नहीं होता है खेत से आगे फिर पास टाइम करना है तो यू जस्ट टॉक व्हाट डू यू टॉक अबाउट राइट You just talk about everything and anything. That's why in villages everybody knows what everybody's doing, because the word just gets around. It's very, very, very harmful. It's very, very harmful. So these two decided that they're going to do some ghibat. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that don't do ghibah, because when you do ghibah, would you like to be consuming your dead brother's flesh? In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this mu'jiza, He showed this to become a reality. Now you might be thinking that I've done ghibah before. I don't know if there's any fresh blood and, you know, fresh meat in my stomach. Well, just vomit and see if it is. I mean, this is a special case scenario anyway. But I mean, try it. Do some ghibat and then vomit and see if any fresh blood comes out. Or fresh meat comes out. I know it sounds a bit weird. It sounds a bit strange for people to hear that. But I mean, I guess we never do that anyway. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Right. Number three is to avoid listening to anything which is wrong. That means, or anything which is undesirable. That would be music. Listening to argumentation, listening to ghibat is also one of them. Even if you're not doing and you're sitting down inside tasbih bhi par rahe, but you're listening to ghibat and you're enjoying it, that's a problem. Because Allah says in the Quran, سَمَّاعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ أَكَّالُونَ لِلْسُّحْتِ. Those people who listen to the wrong and the people who do the wrong, who say the wrong, they're both the same thing. In fact, in another verse, Allah says, لَوْلَا يَنْهَاهُمُ الرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارُ عَنْ قَوْلِهِمُ الْإِثْمَ وَأَكْلِهِمُ السُّحْتِ. They're people of God among the Bani Israel. They're people of Allah, those who are supposed to be religious. And they're scholars. Why did they not stop the others from doing sinful talk and from lying? They used to listen to them and they wouldn't stop them. So they get the same punishment for doing that. إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلُهُمْ. Then you're just like them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Number four, now this is to then protect the rest of the limbs, which means the hands and the feet, from going towards the haram, from touching the haram, from moving the haram. And also, another point is the stomach. To protect the stomach from any kind of doubtful things at iftari time is also important. What does that mean by doubtful things at iftari time? He's saying, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, what's the point of staying away from dawn to sunset from halal food? The chicken in your fridge, right? Your cereal, whatever you eat, right? You stay away from that. And then when it comes to iftar time, you do iftar on haram food. What is haram food? He said, this is just like his example. It's like you're building this huge mansion for the people of the area, but you destroy the whole village. Here, this is a mansion, but you destroy the village and everything that they have. It's like you're not letting the supplies in, and you're creating a pier to bring supplies in from there, as though that's going to be allowed, or that's somehow something better, or you're airdropping and killing people in the process. So this is, you might be thinking, where's he going to get this haram food from? What is haram food at iftar? Or doubtful food at iftar? What is that? Well, of course, if it is clearly doubtful, that's doubtful. Or if it's used, if it's purchased by haram means, then that's doubtful or haram, right? He's not talking, he's saying this. He's saying that halal food can become harmful when you have too much of it. A small amount of halal food is fine. Too much of halal food becomes harmful. Having too many different types of foods becomes harmful for you. The whole purpose of fasting, the whole purpose that Allah has made us fast, is to actually decrease our food during the whole month. So it's like somebody who doesn't take too much medicine, but then goes and takes a small amount of haram medicine. Sorry, a small amount of poisonous medicine. What's the point of that? You're trying to avoid one thing, but you're falling into a greater problem. So he's saying that, number one, if you are consuming haram, so you're avoiding halal food during the day, and then at iftar time, you're getting something which is haram. What's the point of that? Some people are very ignorant about what halal and haram is. I've been to masjids in America where you would go and there'll be an iftar. They'll be serving people food, and the chicken that they've bought, there's a rotisserie chicken from Costco, because they think it's halal. So many people in America, there's a fatwa that that's okay. As long as, because they think Christians are slaughtering it. They have no idea that the guy who's slaughtering might be an atheist, a Buddhist, he might be swearing while he's slaughtering, he's not a Christian. Just because it's assumed, there's some scholars in some Muslim countries who think that America is a Christian country. So that means all the food there must be Christian, which means, and Allah has said in the Quran that the Christian food is halal for you, just as the Jewish food is. So it should be halal. Completely baseless understanding. So I remember, I said, where is this chicken from? He said, Costco. I said, Costco doesn't sell halal chicken, right? Costco used to sell these hot, you know, roasted chicken. So they brought that. So it took a while for us to clear that up with people and say, look, be very careful about this. This is not halal, only halal according to some fatwas which we don't agree with. So one has to be very, very careful where they get their money for them, their halal food, for their food from, and whether the food is actually halal or not. Because otherwise, it is like a poison. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that how many people fast, how many fasting people there are, but they don't get anything out of their fasting except hunger and thirst. So they've stayed hungry, and for 14 hours they've stayed hungry and thirsty. So somebody said, is this somebody who has done iftar on haram? So he said, no, this is somebody who stayed away from halal food during the daytime, and then he did ghibat in the of people and ate their haram flesh. Because to do ghibat of somebody is like eating their flesh. So what Imam Ghazali is saying is that you stay away from halal food during the daytime, and at iftar time you have abundance, and that's harmful for you. So that is, then he specifically speaks about that as the fifth point. And he says that at iftar time you then stuff your stomach. And he says that there is no vessel, container, which is worse to fill up, more hated according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than the stomach. So even if we stuff the stomach with halal food, it is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's considered blameworthy. Right, now this is where he brings his main point. He says, the purpose of fasting was to destroy the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is shaitan. Not let the shaitan have an effect against us. How does shaitan get an effect against us? If we eat too much, we become a bit lazy. We become too relaxed. And that's where we don't feel like doing good deeds, and it's easier to do bad deeds. That's the assumption and that's the understanding. So he's saying that when we eat too much, we're actually helping the shaitan against us, whereas fasting was to lessen the food, minimize the food, so that we get some kind of control over the shaitan and learn how to control it. Even though shaitan is not there anymore, but he's left so many habits that we have that we will do because of having too much food. So a lot of people, what they do, he said, is that because they don't have lunch, they have prepare a double meal and they try to eat a double meal at iftar time. And that's very harmful. The purpose is that at iftar time, only have one meal. I think that's the simplest practical way to do this. At iftar time, just have one meal. Don't have equivalent to two meals. We can only eat so much, there's no point stretching the stomach sack. He says the whole spirit of fasting, ruh of the fasting, is to weaken, is to actually weaken the energy, to weaken the a person's capability by which they feel bold enough to do haram acts, bold enough to go and do things. It's to actually weaken that. This is a very interesting point. He says you can't get that unless you eat less. Because when you're full up, then you feel confident. You feel energized that you want to do whatever it is that you, let's go and do it. Now, how are you feeling right now? Do you feel very energized? Because you're fasting and it's nearly iftari time. Do you feel energized? Not really. We're feeling a sense of weakness. I used to really feel bad about this sense of weakness. This I'm going to share with you. You know, when you're fasting, especially when the fast is a bit long and you feel weak, you feel, you don't feel as confident as usual to go and do whatever. You don't feel like doing it. So I used to feel bad that I'm not healthy enough. Is that why? Because you assume that if it's a healthy person, then they should be able to go 10 hours and they should be as strong as ever. They should be able to do what they are or what they, whatever they want. No. What Imam Ghazali explains is that, look, he says, the adab of the fast is that you decrease your sleeping with tarawih, etc., and tahajjud. And in the daytime, you decrease your eating, and even in the evening. So that وَيَسْتَشْعِرْ ضَعْفَ الْقُوَى, and you actually feel a weakness. You actually feel a kamzuri, as they say. Kamzuri mahsus ho. You feel a weakness. Why? What's the benefit of that? When you feel weakness, when you've had less sleep, right? When you've had less food and you stayed hungry, you get a bit destabilized. And that's a good thing because you think more. What am I doing? Why am I like this? Iska kya fayda hai? What should I be doing? You start making better choices in life. You wonder what you're doing is right or wrong. فَيَصْفُ عِنْدَ ذَٰلِكَ قَلْبُ Imam Ghazali is saying that that's when your heart becomes purified. Because your thoughts are getting corrected. And it's good to have that continue into the evening. To have that bit of weakness continue in the evening. If that happens, your heart will become clearer and the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend. And inshallah, you in your evenings and especially in your tahajjud, you'll be able to really benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening up many things for you. Now I don't feel guilty that I'm feeling a bit tired. I feel that this is what is the purpose of the fast. I should just use it to contemplate, to think what is the best way to do this. Then he says, if you do this well enough, by the 27th night, whenever is Laylatul Qadr, on that night of your worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up many mysteries for you. Many realities will dawn on you. Many, many great things will happen to you. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. We reveal that in the night of Qadr to give that special blessing to people. So, alhamdulillah, we do worship in the night of Qadr and, you know, in Laylatul Qadr and so on. But this is, it's to try to minimize the food at iftari time. Right? It's to minimize that food and not eat a double meal. Right? He says that whoever keeps his stomach less full, then inshallah the veils will start to be lost. The veils will start to be lifted. Shaitan's veils will be lifted and a person will have more direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last point he makes, the sixth way to get an upgrade in our fast. So it was to protect the eyes, protect the tongue, protect the ears, protect the limbs of the body, protect the stomach, not eat too much. That was the 5 points. The sixth point, what's left? Is that when you're doing iftar, at iftari time, your heart should be in between fear and hope. On the one hand, you say, alhamdulillah, I fast this, Allah gave me tawfiq to fast. Inshallah, Allah loves fasting. Fasting is for Allah. I'm going to get close to Allah. But on the other hand, we have this fear that, is my fast accepted? Did I break my fast somehow? Not, I know I didn't eat anything or drink anything or sexual intercourse, but did I say something, do something, see something that broke my fast according to Allah? We need to be in that state. That's how we need to proceed. There was a person called Ahnaf ibn Qais. He was asked, you're a very, very old man. And fasting debilitates you. It causes you to become so weak and makes you so impotent, incapable. He said, yes, I'm still going to do it because I'm preparing myself for the hereafter. I'm preparing myself from against the shaitan, against the hellfire. And this is my patience to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my type of sabr, is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is going to be a lot easier to deal with hunger than to try to deal with the punishment of the hellfire. They're both resilience. This is resilience from eating. That is resilience against a hellfire. This is easier. So even though I'm so old and so on, I went to Sweden for a day, 2 days ago. So at the airport, this brother came and he said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi to me." And then I saw him eating. I said, "What are you?" It was the middle of the day. It was about 10 o'clock or something like that. I said, "How come you're eating?" He said, "I'm traveling. That's why I'm not fasting." I said, "The mas'ala, the ruling is that you're only allowed to not fast because travelers don't have to fast, as Allah mentions in the Quran. But that's only when they are already a traveler at Sahri time, at Fajr time. So they've entered as a traveler. So if I'm already on my way, I'm already somewhere else as a traveler, I don't have to fast. Though it's better to fast, I don't have to." He had become a traveler afterwards, right? So I said that the majority, this is their understanding, is that you have to be a traveler to fast. The flight is a 2-hour flight, less than a 2-hour flight. And literally it's like going from here to Blackburn. You go 1.5 hours to the airport, it's a 2-hour flight, and you're there. It's like going up north. That's how much it was. Now, maybe I've never rozani raka. You know, it's a short fast to start with anyway. And when you go there, you're gonna fast 1 hour less because the iftari is 1 hour earlier, mashallah. So it's better to fast because there's so much benefit in fasting. There's so much benefit in fasting. When I go to Australia, from here to Melbourne, I do nearly 1.5 fast on the way. You do an iftari, then you do another sahri, and by the time you get this iftari again, right? On the way back though, it becomes like a 23-hour fast. Or 25 hours, right? Now it'll be a bit shorter, but in the days, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it used to become 23 to 25-hour fast. Because they're before us. You sit there after sahri, and when you get here, it's still 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock. And there's still 4 hours left for iftari. Right? So, but it was ajeeb because I fasted. I said, "I'm going to start the fast. If it gets tough, I'll break it. It's permissible if it gets tough." Ajeeb, Allah Ta'ala made it very easy. I didn't have to break it. Allah gives a lot of himmah. To do that. So these are the internal aspects of fasting that are very important. For many, many years we've been fasting and not focused on these aspects. Let us get our fasting to the second level at least, which is the fasting of the special people who avoid these things which break the fast from looking at something, hearing something, saying something, doing something, or they are not careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand this and to improve our fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our fasting of the khusus. Wa akhiru da'wana anil alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله يا الله have mercy on us يا الله have mercy on this ummah يا الله have mercy on your beloved servants يا الله the ummah is struggling in many many places يا الله. Oh Allah, we ask you for your special mercy during this month of Ramadan. This month is a month in which you are most generous, Ya Allah. You have closed the doors of hellfire and opened the doors of paradise, Ya Allah. You've taken away the shayateen. Oh Allah, you have increased all obligatory worships to 70 times their reward, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we see the effects of your mercy on the earth. People spend more in feeding others than they ever do during other times. They give more in charity, Ya Allah, during this month than other times. Oh Allah, we ask that you also give us some of your generosity, Ya Allah. We need your generosity, Ya Allah. We need your special attention. We need your special mercy. We need your special blessings. We need from, Oh Allah, your special attention, Ya Allah, to bless us. And oh Allah, make this Ramadan better than any before it, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, upgrade our fasting and our Ramadan and our profile during this month. Make our fasting of the khas fasting, of the special people's fasting, Ya Allah. Allow us to fast in a complete way, Ya Allah. Improve and enhance our fasting, Ya Allah. For many years we've been doing the standard fasting, Ya Allah. Allow us to be complete in every aspect. And then accept it from us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we thank you for you're the one who gives us the ability to fast in the first place. If you did not give us the ability and the strength, we would not be able to fast, Ya Allah. Now that you've given us the ability and the strength to fast, oh Allah, allow it to be a good fast, Ya Allah. Allow it to be a beautiful fast. Allow it to be an accepted fast, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us all of our sins. Every night of this Ramadan, you are writing people to be freed from hellfire. Ya Allah, allow us to also find a space in that list. Allow us to also find a place there. Oh Allah, forgive us all of our wrongdoings, all of our sins, all of our negligences, Ya Allah, our transgressions, our violations, our sins, and oh Allah, all the problems that we've had, whether we remember them, and especially those that we have forgotten, Ya Allah, forgive us all. And oh Allah, forgive us for those sins that bring trouble in our lives. Forgive us those sins which take the blessing out of our life, the barakah out of our homes, that turn people against one another, that cause people to conflict with one another. Oh Allah, and we especially ask you forgiveness from those sins that have now become part of our life, and we don't even consider them sins anymore, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if we die in this state, then these sins will rear their ugly head in the hereafter, and they will condemn us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you protection from hellfire. Oh Allah, we ask you protection from your displeasure, Ya Allah. We ask you for your pleasure, Ya Allah. Make us of those that you are happy with. Make us like those that you want us to be. Make us like your close servants, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect our brothers and sisters and grant them relief and delivery and freedom from all of the oppression that they are going through. Oh Allah, those who have been killed, oh Allah, make them your martyrs, Ya Allah. And oh Allah, those who have been injured and those who have lost, Ya Allah, grant them much better. Grant them sabr and patience and steadfastness and fortitude. And oh Allah, grant them connection with you. And oh Allah, grant them much better than what they have lost, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you protection for our families and our children and ourselves from all the evils and all the wrongs which are out there, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, assist us and help us. Oh Allah, we want you to keep this deen and the sunnah of your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our families, in our descendants, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all the way until the day of judgment, Ya Allah. This is a far place to think about. But oh Allah, we are concerned, Ya Allah, that you protect them as well, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, that you make us of those, oh Allah, who do something for your deen, who are productive individuals. Oh Allah, accept all the worships that we do. Allow us to have a worship for every moment of our time. Oh Allah, do not allow us to waste any time during this month, especially during this month. Make us closer to you than we've ever been before, Ya Allah. Make this Ramadan more blessed and illuminated than it's ever been before for us, Ya Allah. And oh Allah, keep us close to you even after the month has passed. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.